Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Fangs and Fawns. This is your host, Roland.
Failed!
You know what? That works. Run.
Voice.
And I'm Ocean.
I'm Yanara.
And Roland's fucking it all up for you.
Hope you guys are having a good night tonight. Or day. Or morning. Or
whenever you happen
evening.
To be listening to this podcast.
Twilight. Sunset. Majestic. Maybe you're reading it at 3 a.m.
This isn't the singles hour. Profile.
I like log walks in the sunset.
I like
to swim in pools and...
I like to podcast.
No, we're done. Good night.
Bleeper button.
We are out of it.
My bleeper button was just going off like nobody's business there.
Cancel. You can finish that episode that we still have to do and we're done.
I've already spent most of my thought processes today. So this is going to be interesting.
So this week we're going to be talking about what does it mean to be a writer? You know, there's people out there that discuss, some people say they're writers, some people don't. Other people don't think others are writers, other people do. Some people write for fun, some people just write for professional and money. What does that all mean?
So we're actually breaking this down into two parts. Probably the first podcast for where we actually have to do that. Part one is going to be hobby versus professional writers. Second part is going to be writers versus authors. So part one, hobby versus professional.
I want to put like a da 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 da.
So first off, do we want to address professionalism in the fandom? This is usually a hot topic with most people that are trying to become professional or people that are already jaded to the amount of professionalism or lack thereof.
Okay, so just for a run on here, Ocean is sitting here with his face in his hands.
I think I've said something to antagonize the
tiger. No, I just wonder myself if one of these days I should just create, you know, a separate writing account where I won't be just talking shit every third tweet or something, not to scare the people away.
I've thought about that on many occasions. So something that happens to come up quite a bit in things like reviews, people leaving comments on stories, is that furries just don't seem to be have to be held to the same standard as other publishers. So should we sort of address this right off the bat?
Well, we're referring to it in this as the furry standard, where because technically writing-wise, the furry fandom is a younger fandom, and thus there are people out there that view that as an excuse to kind of half-ass their work because this isn't, quote-unquote, a real writing genre.
As a young fandom, people tend to use that as an excuse that, you know, because publishers have typos, publishers have, you know, these little quirks, and because they're such a small company that, yeah, the same degree of standard isn't going to be present in these necessarily as much as one of the big publishers that you would see in chapters. And it's a poor excuse for poor writing.
Yeah.
And this goes back to something that I mentioned in a reviewing podcast, and I was actually talking to a couple people about it today, whereas in one novel that I saw that was furry, in one of the reviews, someone had said that, yeah, there was grammar mistakes, yeah, there were spelling mistakes, but because of what it was quote-unquote acceptable and really not worth mentioning in the review. And it's kind of the thing of like, well, why isn't it worth mentioning? If there are spelling mistakes, if there are writing errors within it, why is that not something that should the author, editor, publisher should be held accountable for?
Because everybody makes mistakes. That's why they put erasers on pencils.
If every pork chop was perfect, we wouldn't have hot dogs.
And that's why you do your final drafts in pen. Because the shit is supposed to be correct by the time you've put it out there. I greatly disagree with that perspective. It does nothing to help people improve. It does nothing to help the furry standard that exists. You know, you say, you know, this is how it is because, and you've done nothing to resolve the situation.
Or this guy did it, so it's okay.
That's a little bit different. Like, people white knighting sort of for people that they look up to, so...
Or if, that necessarily don't deserve being white knighted because they really are in the wrong.
I don't think anybody deserves to be white knighted. Everybody should share the same amount of criticism. The problem I have with this, you know, you have people saying, oh, this is okay because this. This is okay because the rest of this. Like, we're not saying that you're a terrible writer or that, you know, we're just saying that this is
your book is wrong. A fail because you spelled that word wrong.
Yeah, we're just saying that this should be fixed. There, the entire rest of the story could be fine, but if you're saying, you know, maybe there's too many adverbs, maybe this, you know, this comma, this period is in the wrong spot, too many semicolons.
Run on sentences everywhere.
We're not saying it's a bad story, we're just saying it could be better.
Here are your weak points, please fix them to improve your writing.
It's something that I see that, like, some of my friends, like, it aggravates them greatly that people have this point of view, because... It's not constructive.
Isn't that a little, pardon the sound of ridiculous, but isn't that more of a destructive attitude to take?
It is. It's very destructive.
Nothing's wrong with what I'm doing, therefore you're a jerk and you should leave me alone and I'm like, great.
Why should I have to change?
Because you found something wrong.
Like, this is your excuse for not improving, and that's not, it's not beneficial in any way. I'm getting some major deja vu on this topic because I am positive we've talked about this before.
We have in reviewing. And I did recently review a book from a feline writer where
feline?
Yeah.
Or female.
Feline.
Oh, okay.
Where
feline.
I did need to clarify that.
Where the thing is that during a lot of the reviews they were getting really good reviews, but unfortunately, like, the storyline itself, had they picked one aspect of it and gone with it, which was a gay romance, it would have been a really, really good story. Unfortunately, due to the fact that English was not their primary language, and unfortunately all the people who were helping beta read and editing did not help fix those errors, and you ended up with pages of mass text, you ended up with really bad English errors. The fact is what could have been a really good storyline, and what ended up being butchered and ended up wrecking it and dragging it from what easily could have been a 3 or 4 star book down to a 1 star book, simply because they did not hold themselves accountable for the professionalism of their craft. I mean, we want furry writing to be something that, as furry writers, we can be proud of. We all publish outside of the fandom. This topic recently came up on the Furry Writers Guild. How many of us publish outside of the fandom? And the thing is everyone who's posted on there so far does. So when you turn there and you talk to people outside the fandom about your furry writing, do you want to be, you know, do you want that to be something you're proud of? Or is that going to be kind of that shameful thing that you hide in the corner because you don't feel like it's professional enough or worth enough?
Oh, it's kind of like writing zombie porn and trying to tell the furries. Sorry.
So why don't we address what we think the difference is between hobby writers and professional writers?
I think hobby writers were the ones that post on InkBunny and So Furry and Fur Affinity and don't really care that that's where they're posting, and they're happy just to put that there. I mean, I read a series on FA. I'll admit I started reading it because it was an erotic, and I continued to read it because he had some really good world building. He's happy writing it just to write it. He knows there's spelling errors. He knows there's grammar errors. He doesn't care. He writes it because he wants to get this world out of his head. And he loves to do it. He likes the feedback and he likes the world building. To him, it's kind of like a video game with words. And I think he's a hobby writer.
There are the people that do like serialized fiction on the sites like So Furry and that, where they publish a chapter now and then. And that can also be a way to amplify your writing platform by giving people something free to read. And then if they like that, they know where to find your books.
Well, you can, but we're talking on hobby writers and.
Yeah, and you were saying that hobby writers generally will just publish.
That's my view on a hobby writer. Like, he's the perfect example I could think of a hobby writer, because he doesn't really show any desire to want to print his stuff or to want to sell his stuff. He just wants to write because it's in his brain and it's got to get out, and he likes it.
I'm just saying that because if you put it on FA, that doesn't mean you're strictly a hobby writer.
No, I didn't mean that at all. Sorry, I didn't mean to get that.
No. And no, I think that's the main difference, is that it's the intent with which you publish to your platforms.
Yeah.
So if I'm publishing to FA, to SoFurry, to whatever, with no real intent of going further, you know, it doesn't matter if I edit my stuff. It doesn't matter if I, you know, make sure that it is as clean as possible before posting it on there.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not doing it to gain some sort of recognition within the professional
world,
writing, the professional writing groups, things like publishers, things like doing it for profit or doing it for recognition, then that is strictly a hobbyist standpoint on the issue. If I'm doing it as a sort of a catalyst,
advertising
for, you know, for getting myself out there, for making sure that more people are aware of my work, you know, to subsidize what I'm also putting out in print or for sale, that would be the difference between hobby and professional.
I agree with that.
And I was actually, that's my view on it, is basically, if you're writing it for fun or for yourself, then you're a hobby writer. If you're posting it to like place the websites just for the sake of posting it, you wrote it, you're like, hey, this is pretty good, I'm going to share it, then yeah, you're a hobby writer. But if you're turning around and you're submitting it for something beyond, be it money, exposure, etc., you're still doing it for yourself, but now you're trying to get something else out of it, being advertising and all that stuff Roland just said.
So, well, you said for recognition fits under a hobby writer. If I'm writing for recognition, is that hobby or professional?
When I mentioned recognition, I was saying that in reference to making yourself known for a more professional,
building your writing platform?
Like doing it for notoriety, doing it for exposure, so that you can sell, sell your work on other venues. That would be in the vein of a professional writing.
So to platform. Kind of drain it down to one point, like professional, you have a goal in mind with your writing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be money. Like, you could do something professionally.
And you just want other people to read your stuff and go, hey, that was good. Thumbs up.
Yeah, I don't want to call it...
Five-star rep.
I don't want to say it's for validation, but it would almost be for some sort of recognition or notoriety. So, when do you call yourself a writer? At what point do you sit down in front of your laptop and lean back and exclaim to yourself, I'm a writer?
When I've written something.
For those that follow my Twitter, I posted it. Was an article that was written by Setting Your Self-Doubt on Fire from Horror Tree. And basically he said...
How ironic.
Actually, it was she. Sorry. She said on it that basically to call yourself a writer, you can do that at any time, as long as you're writing. That's the key thing. And most people who are professional writers that maybe aren't writing as much still have that self-doubt, is when can I call myself a writer? When I publish my first story, am I a writer then? When I do my first novel, am I a writer then? Well, as long as you're sitting down and writing day in and day out, and it's something that you need to do, then you're a writer. Now, saying you're a writer in public to other people is a different story, because then you have to be prepared for when they retaliate with, well, have I read any of your work? Where are you published? Are you making good money off of it? So on and so forth.
Well, it's like bringing up the same comparison could be made with, well, when can you call yourself a writer? When can you call yourself an artist? When can you call yourself a sculptor? Do you have to see a monetary gain to justify calling yourself something? You talk to anybody on any... on DeviantArt, Furfinity, SoFurry, well, you've got stick figures on your wall. Are you an artist? Well, not a good artist, but I'm an artist. Then you're an artist. Well, you talk to any sculptor. Well, what do you do? Well, I like to sculpt. So when do you call yourself a sculptor? when you start selling stuff? No, it's when you have to do it.
So let's say, like, for the past few months, I haven't been writing. And, you know, you say you call yourself a writer when you write or when you have to write. And I've been in a bit of a slump myself. So, I mean, let's say I don't have the compulsion to write. At no point during the time in which I'm not writing do I consider myself not a writer.
Exactly.
Do you think there's, like, a statute of limitations on when you can't call yourself a writer, when you can call yourself a writer?
Like, when you go, I'm done. No more writing for me.
I suppose if there's no more intent to become a writer, then I guess that's the point at which you sort of say, you hang up your coat and say you're done.
I think I can agree with that, yeah.
I got in a long, long ago when I initially was going into fine arts and I was taking it in school. I got into an argument with an engineer friend of mine over what makes an artist versus what makes an engineer. And he was adamant, mostly to get under my skin, by saying, well, with an engineer, you go to school, you get a shiny ring, you're an engineer. He can go and scribble on a paper and call himself an artist because he's doing art. And this led to a lot of bickering and fighting between us.
Oh, I can see.
But therein lies the problem. As artists, we unfortunately are in a group where anyone can call themselves what we do. There is no actual set rules of you do this like an engineer and you get this, you are thus an engineer. For us, it's more amorphous. Anyone can call themselves a writer. Yes, that's a problem. But the fact is that those of us that continually write and continue to do it, when we say we're a writer, we can at least say it with confidence, and that confidence is going to be one of the determining factors as to whether or not people are going to look at us and go, yeah, no, they're a writer. Or you become super popular like Kyle Gold, and then everyone knows you're a writer.
You're lame and carry around a picture of the book you're published in.
This just reminds me of university, of all the science and art jokes where it's like, oh, you're taking arts and crafts, or... Back at U of A, we'd have the joke, why is the fine arts building connected to the hub, the student mall? Because as soon as your degree's done, you can walk right on down because Subway is hiring. Just bad things like that. But, like, at the same time, you can go become an engineer, get your shiny ring, but if you don't get a job being an engineer, all you have is a shiny ring. In the same sense that if a person can go and take a degree in fine arts or literature... And go, well, I could now be an author, and then doesn't do anything. It's continuing to do that which you practiced.
Well, it's like when Taro mentions that, you know, you sort of look at somebody and you go, yes, you're a writer. And, like, there seem to be distinctive characteristics that make us what we are. You know, you can, maybe you can't tell it, you know, at first glance, but if somebody says, I'm a writer, you sort of look at it and you're like, yeah, you are. And, like, in the same way that that engineers tend to be these obsessive compulsive freaks of nature.
My brother went to school for engineering.
Yeah, so did mine.
My brother is doing it currently right now. I was going to do engineering, but I was too lazy.
They're some of the most neurotic people, and they've essentially been bred that way through years of brainwashing and tutorials. Like,
there's a story I'm going to interrupt you here for. My dad, who's an engineer, electrical engineer, walked into my workplace and I introduced them to people, and I had talked about one of our accountants to him before, and they looked at each other, and my dad went outside and my accountant boss looked at me and goes, he looks like an engineer. And I said, mm-hmm. And I walked out to my dad, and the first thing my dad says to me is, he looks like an accountant.
Nice.
So, case in point.
Yeah, you all sort of start out as, like, the same entity when you enter university, but then you come out as these drastically different people. Like, I've heard that accountants, when they start out in school, have all sorts of life in them, and then by the fourth year, they're just dead inside. And in the same way that, you know, you look at an engineer, and, you know, they've almost always got a dress shirt, you know, usually glasses, probably balding. They're, like, 30 by the time they graduate. And... You know, and in that same way, there are many characteristics that make up writers, that make us who we are. And so
we're going to get a bunch of strongly engineered complaints.
I hope so. I can only imagine it'll be like a dozen or so engineers agreeing with us.
Well, I do like how you mentioned, you know, I can go and write anytime I want, but I need to go to school for this job. Because it makes me think of, like, how many, there's a handful of us that are all doing computer work, in the fandom no less, some sort of computer engineer, computer programmer, system analyst, that write part-time in our part-time, you know, because we're like, well, we can do this as a job and then use that to support our writing, no, which we can do exactly in our spare time. So,
well, it's like of the number of interview questions that I was reviewing today, like there's a specific example. It's just like people go to school for things like, say, political sciences or art history or English literature, and you come out with this degree in art, and you're just like, well, now time to go find a real job.
Because that was fun. Let's
we can't
go do
make
something
shit
else.
Doing writing. So what else are we gonna do? And
now, one thing I will say is, I was talking to a friend of mine about, who's a non-writer, but he went with me through fine arts in college, and he was talking about how, you know, people who actually go to school to write doesn't make a difference. And we've got a couple people in the fandom who are writers who have gone to school and have taken English and are English majors. And the thing is that if you look at their stuff, it's gorgeous. They know how to write. And
sure hope so.
Have you spent all that money? I should damn well think so.
But I mean, it's the thing is like, if I could go back and do it all again, would I go into school for writing? Probably. Knowing what I do now?
I would.
Sure as hell would over doing fine arts and then switching to religious studies.
But you enjoy your religious studies and you use it fairly often.
That is true.
Just not for profit.
Just not for profit.
And your religious studies does come in handy for
a lot of your stuff.
The stories you happen to be writing
exactly
at the time.
That is true. And my art degree did come in handy when selling flooring and designing kitchens.
There you go.
So on that point, like, you know, you can go to school for something like writing, and like Taro mentioned, you know, the people that, you know, go in as an English major and come out, you know, as a writer, their writing is gorgeous. It's technically correct.
It flows.
Yeah. And
well, not everybody that does an English major goes to write, but anyways.
No, like I'm just saying, the ones that do come out as a, you know, as an author, as a writer, I mean, like, it's, look at the varied backgrounds that we all come from. I mean, not everybody has to go to school to become a writer. There's just this inherent trait that makes it so that we take our experiences and have somehow, over the course of our lives, figured out how to put those on paper without an official English education. You know, we don't have much higher than probably, you know, high school English. But I've never specifically found that to make a great difference. I've always had a decent comprehension of English.
I'm assuming that most people that are writers also loved reading as a child. I don't know too many people. I don't know if I know any who have become, like, writers and never read as a kid.
But like, don't get me wrong, I would love to go and take an English course to get a better understanding of it all. But
kind of polish it up.
I've never strictly.
Well, from what I've seen
post-secondary English education.
Post-secondary English is just becoming more critical with analyzing literature is what I saw. You know, you're looking at, like, you know, Shakespeare or Chaucer or whatever course you're taking, because they go over the whole range depending on the course. And usually, I don't know if Tarl can back me up on this, but it's usually you're reading the pieces, you're analyzing them, you're being more critical. If you want to be a better editor, I would say go do English.
Absolutely.
The two lit classes that I took in university, one was a mixed class for religion and literature, and it was a 300-level religion class, 400-level lit class, which I thought was hilarious. And some of the stuff that was brought up in there were amazing works that I never would have come across. And the other one was children's lit involving fairy tales. And our teacher was a lady who wrote a paper about the feminism within the Arthur myth cycle. And friggin' brilliant lady. And we went and looked at fairy tales and all that. And it makes you look at literature a completely different way.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
you gain a certain insight into, Like, for example, the inherent sexuality in Little Red Riding Hood, where the red hood is actually virginity. And if you read the original, it's beyond sexualized. And essentially, don't go into the stranger's house, undress, and suddenly realize that you're going to get naked into bed with the wolf.
Oh my god.
Awesome.
Sounds like a
yeah, no, like halfway through the story, it's literally, take off your this. She takes it off, throws it into the fire. Take off your this.
Into the
and
fire.
It,
into the
yeah,
fire.
And it goes through every article of her clothing till she's naked in front of the wolf. And then she realizes, shit, I'm going to get in bed with this wolf. And then tricks him and escapes.
Huh, but that's like also furry fandom's older than we thought.
But that's also completely different. Like, did you take any creative writing classes?
I did in high school.
Like, I took one in university, and it was completely different than an English major class. Because it was, let's talk about writing dialogue or
the
mood and that.
The one I had in high school was pretty good. I was going to try to take some in university. And I'm not going to lie, at the time, my self-doubt really trashed it because you basically needed to submit pieces for them to validate your worth to go into the class.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh, geez, no. Mine wasn't that strict, but I got annoyed because we found out the trick to getting the assignments. Because you would write an assignment,
mm-hmm.
you'd do like, oh, write up a short story with this or something. Or like, we're going to do a dialogue exercise, do 2 pages of dialogue, come back with it. And the teacher would look at it, go, okay, that's great. Now, write it completely over again, completely different. And you're just like, but I worked so hard on this. No, completely different. So what we would do is you'd do the piece you want. You'd submit that second. You'd submit some junky piece first.
Nice.
So we've talked a lot about post-secondary education and writing. And so let's say somebody wants to take the plunge into becoming a professional writer.
Wait, I want to touch on one more point.
Go ahead.
Like before, we were talking about a little bit about the community. And, you know, just by being a writer, writing in that, other people just recognize you as a writer. Like, I still don't have anything published on actual paper yet, but people are already, they're like, oh, you're a writer. And I'm like,
how does that happen? How do you get that?
Well, when I moved here to Calgary, like, I hadn't written anything since, like, 2 years before that. I was like, yeah, I'm kind of a writer. But you guys were like, oh, he's a writer, too.
Roland and I were talking about writing,
mm-hmm.
and then through that you mentioned you had interest in writing, much like sort of like what happened with Scruffy, and then it's like, oh, well, we write, you should come write with us,
mm-hmm.
and then the thing is once you started doing that, you started being active in the fandom involving writing, and because you were active and vocal about writing, vocal being the key, suddenly everyone else who was a writer in the fandom went, oh, you're a writer? I'm a writer too. And in
Let's
the fandom, and like, in the fandom, the writers are a very close-knit community.
Well, like, think about sort of what you've done as, you know, a writer so far. I mean, you've helped work out things like the Punked Anthology. Mm-hmm. You came along during the end of Abandoned
AP.
Places.
But I talked to you guys a bit about that.
You know, you've written, you've submitted, you're a part of this podcast. And so, you know, that alone, as far as exposure and experience, puts you above a lot of the other writers that are out there. You know, there are some people that are still posting their stuff to, you know, to FA or Sofer, like simply sort of lurking in the shadows, more or less.
But not reaching
that
out.
That haven't had this kind of experience yet. And I think a lot of that's just being very open about your intents.
Open, having a writing group, networking, socializing.
God, socializing. How can we deal with that?
Socializing
with
that.
I think that's
like
going to class.
You know, maybe there's not a huge difference between you and the other person that's been writing for a year, except for all of this. Like,
mm-hmm. Well, like you, I would complain to you. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. You're like, no, you know what you're doing. I'm able to discuss these higher topics with you. I'm like, really? And you're like, yes.
The only one thing that I'm absolutely positive of is that nobody truly knows what they're doing. We do our best. And sometimes that impresses people.
When you figure it out,
that's the difference. Like,
or you retire.
I'm still just as unsure about some of the words that I put on paper as somebody who's just starting out. Maybe my process is a little more refined, but you know, you always have a little bit of doubt about your abilities. You always have this barrier to overcome each time you start a new story, because you're starting from scratch each and every time.
Mm-hmm. And the only, and that's the thing, is the only difference between us in our writing states, because we're all at different levels, versus someone who's maybe lurking in the fandom, is we've gotten our criticisms, we've gotten people who have said, hey, this didn't work, you're using too much of this, you're not using enough of this, your dialogue sucks, whatever. And we've taken it, moved on, and adapted our writing style to incorporate or not incorporate the elements that people have given us critiques about.
Well, we've improved.
And hence, through changing our and learning, we've improved, as Ocean said.
As you know, as we progress in our writing style, I like, you know, as far as when I write a new story, I'm simply aware of one more thing that I have to avoid, you know, from when I left off with the last story. So it's really just becoming more aware of what your faults are and actively working towards fixing that. So what makes the difference between a professional and a hobby writer? Say you want to make the plunge and become a professional writer. What steps do you take?
Submitting?
Yeah.
Getting your work out there, getting recognized as a professional.
Because that was it for us, right? Like, yeah. We had always written, and then it's like, oh, well, I guess we could submit.
Yeah, well, I always wrote, but, well, what's the next step? Well...
Oh, you mean other people want to read my stuff?
So, yeah, it.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So would you say the only step is submitting, or is the other step, the other half of this step, getting accepted?
I think it's even a step before that, and going, I enjoy writing. I can do something with this.
Yeah.
Either put it out there for other people to read, or
there's more than
perhaps
just writing for
yeah.
me.
But yeah, can put one, it out, maybe make some money off of it or something.
In the same way that somebody isn't necessarily considered an author until they're published, can you be considered a professional?
We haven't gotten to that yet.
And we'll go with my personal definition for the meantime. And, you know,
a published
somebody
author.
Typically becomes a or an author when they become published. And so if you're a hobby writer posting to things with no strict barrier, you know, aside from a text file, can somebody be considered a professional writer if they haven't been accepted to something? From the moment that you've been accepted, does that make you a professional writer? Or is there a point in between that?
Is that like the actors that are all like, I'm an actor, and yet they're all working at the Cheesecake Factory? Trying to get that job of an actor?
For the actor's case, let's take one of my customers. He did a spot on Homeland. Where as a contractor, not too hard of a stretch because he's a contractor, but you know, he has done things. He goes to acting classes. He has an agent and he's constantly looking for parts. He recently scored one as the second level badass on Klondike. And he was slated to be on the next Kiefer/Donald Sutherland movie. So the thing is as an actor, is he a professional actor? It's the same concept as us as writers.
He needs something on the resume.
Yeah, he's, and I think that's part of it, is if you sit down and you can present your writer's resume and the things you've been in, I think the more you have, the more you can likely call yourself a professional writer, because then you've got something that you can say, I'm a writer, I'm a professional writer. And someone goes, and this goes back to saying it in public, well, what have you done? And you go,
this.
Here, and there's
evidence.
You know, like a resume, here's all your, you know,
so
references.
As someone who does not have anything in print yet, or even like Roland, who just until Trick or Treat and Fang just came out had nothing, were we professional?
I would say yes, because at that point, like, you know, barring any, you know, circumstance that would prevent this book from coming out, it's been accepted, it's been edited, it's been, you know...
So as soon as you get that first
I've signed the contract, and
you're
it's,
published.
You know, I can just sort of forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, that book is coming out, barring, you know, whatever else.
Whatever happens to voice continually, as Paul Pub shut down over and over and over again.
Sorry, dear.
Like, and... You can sort of readdress the question if a publishing company happens to go tits up.
Well, I was excited.
Again.
Or
again,
publishes a complete pile of tripe, retracts it, and then
spends and spends.
I was a pseudo author.
But the thing is, though, is much like anything else in the real world, in the professional world, there's levels of professionalism. And this goes back to 2 points, but I want to make this first one. And you can be, you know, an intro into the professionalism part of it. You can be, you know, and you're climbing that route of professionalism. You've got something accepted. It's now going to see print. You can be a professional writer. Mm-hmm. Keep with it, because obviously if you start...
Yeah, otherwise it's like, I got my one story. And I'm done.
But this goes
to another goal.
But this goes back into the first thing that we mentioned about professionalism in the fandom, because I think all four of us have talked about it at length. One thing we all want to do is we want to bring a higher level of professionalism into the fandom.
Mm-hmm.
We want there to be more review accountability. We want there to be a higher standard within
myself. I want to have more non-erotica in the fandom.
Ugh,
right.
And like, I was to write erotica, but my main goal is to not.
And for individuals
like Tarl and myself, we just sort of want to be able to see a higher degree of quality.
Yeah, no, completely agree as
in
well.
In general.
That would be really
like,
nice.
I could care less really about subject matter. You can write about whatever you want, but
mm-hmm.
do it well.
Well, I mean, you and know, that's...
This is, you know, writing is important to, you know, just about every one of us. And, well, every one of us. And so you should treat it with care. You know, that new car you bought, you're not going to, hopefully, run it into the ground just because you don't give a shit.
At the same time, you guys wanted more quality, and you guys both now have anthologies that are going to be out there.
Contributing that
and,
extra quality.
And that's the thing, is I have sunk a lot of time and a lot of money mm-hmm. into Abandoned Places. It's finally seeing completion, and I was talking to Isaiah about it, and I'm currently having anxiety attacks over it because I'm excited that it's going to be released soonish, but at the same point, I am terrified as to how it's going to be received.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love every aspect about it, but at the same point, it's because I love so much about it and I've put so much work into it, I want to see it succeed. And
it's hard not to think, you know, about how this is going to stand up in relation to other things that are coming about.
But at the same time, there's very little to compete against. Because, like, other than Trick or Treat, what else is there for horror?
There's two other horror anthologies, yeah. There's Something in the Dark.
But that's it. We've counted them in 3 fingers.
Yeah.
You know? You're already putting out more content.
But
that's...
I don't think it's fair purely to compare that to other horror anthologies, but to writing in the fandom as a whole.
Like,
you know, if you're going to say, well, there's only these 3 anthologies out, so mine should be okay, that introduces the problem that we've been talking about with the furry standard.
Well, and that's the thing, is I want someone to pick it up and go, you know, look at the cover art. That's amazing cover art. Pick it up, flip through it. Wow, there's awesome interior art in this. Read it and go, you know, even if they don't enjoy all the stories, at least enjoy most of them, and actually get, even if they don't get scared by it and it's not horror to them, if they still get pulled into the story, if they still enjoy it, if they still relate to something in there, and they come away from it going, this is worth $20, I recommend it, that's all the validation I want.
And it's very hard to get somebody to say that a book is worth $20.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
That's the sad thing these days.
But yeah, like, it's, I don't think it's fair to say, well, there's only 3 horror books out right now, so you've got nothing to worry about. That's the problem. And that, you know, we really need to work on bringing this stuff up to another level. We can't simply say good enough and leave it at that.
How do you compare when there's nothing to compare to?
Mm-hmm.
You compare to, like, there's plenty of resources outside the fandom to compare yourself to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't have to limit ourselves
no,
to the fandom.
No, I don't have to compare myself to Fang. I can compare myself to...
anything.
God forbid 50 Shades of Grey or some other literotica novel. Like,
well... like, I had someone say that my one horror erotica was relatable to Ramsay E. Campbell, and I was like, the fuck you say? Like, and then I proceeded to pick up his horror erotica, read it, and go, I'm flattered that you see it. I do not. But that's the thing, is it's just I'm being compared to something outside the fandom.
It is kind of funny that the closest parallel I have to any of the stories that I've got published so far would be erotica writers, like smut writers, that you would probably really only see on Smashwords or some other equivalent.
Which is the one of the robots that basically almost always writes like erotica and paranormal romance. One of them does, because one of them basically does mostly short stories, and a lot of them are erotica. And meanwhile, the other two guys are like writing novels. He's just putting out short stories of erotica.
Dead Robots Aside?
Yeah. Oh. Dead Robots.
Duh. Yeah, no, I don't know their names. I'm drawing a blank right now.
But yeah, there's the...
Lynn Neeson or something along that lines. He's
not
the one...
Paul and it's not Terry.
No, he's the one... Well, Terry, because his erotica name is a take on his...
Okay.
But he only does short stories, erotica, and makes good money for it, while the other two writers continually put out...
larger pieces of...
Paulie Cooley, I think is Paul one Cooley? Of them. He's the one who wrote the Garaga's Children, which, by the way, if you can read it, it's freaking good really stuff. Good. But he writes novellas while the other guy writes full-on novels. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they're all successful writers. It's just because one went the route of erotica and Smashwords and specific genres, and he does specific fetishes that are selling well. He's just raking in the cash.
Yeah.
But as a professional writer, I see no reason not to hold myself to their standard. You know, inside the fandom or out.
And I guess that's part of what it comes down to, is just holding yourself accountable to having a professional attitude and treating it professionally.
I can't tell you, well, I can, as feeble as it might be, to, you know, improve your standards.
Man up and do it right.
But, and I've said this and I'll say it again, that you know, maybe you should reconsider your options if you think that it's okay to half-ass your work just because there's nothing better.
It wouldn't get you by on your job.
Well, is the publisher even going to pick you up if it's half-assed?
I've seen...
It depends on what publisher you might be going through.
Yeah. I would hope the publisher a standard of quality themselves, that if you don't meet this... Or, you know, they're going to go, I'm going to bring in an editor because we like the core, but we want
to
bring it out.
Because this leads into the segue to the next part, one of the examples I had was fanfic writers. Fanfics are generally a hobby writer's craft.
I think it's the great... fanfic seems to be almost like baby's first story.
Yeah.
Whether you're writing Twilight, My Little Pony, Harry Potter slash, it's...
I've actually... never written fanfics.
Yeah. I wrote.
I know myself. I started with a fanfic.
I only did one,
and I never finished it. Oh no, I did two.
I don't want to sound pretentious, but like writing fanfics is almost the level below hobby writer.
I disagree.
Not strictly, but to say like, yeah, I started writing fanfics as well. I saw a story that I liked, and I'm like, I'm totally going to use this one. Like, it's almost before your writing comprehension is
a little more evolved at the point
where you can build your own world.
This is another topic, though.
Person that didn't start on fanfics?
No, there's other people I know that haven't done it, but it is a common thing with a lot of writers.
But the reason I'm using this as an example is because you have fanfic writers who started off writing fanfics, which is a hobby writing thing, and then those that turned around like Twilight fanfic / 50 Shades of Grey, and if you've never checked it out, the James Potter series, which is about Harry Potter's son and somehow endorsed by Rowling's, God knows why, it's a terrible series, which are basically fanfic writers who suddenly turned around and said, I'm going to publish this, submitted it after changing it a bit, and suddenly they are now published and are now making money and have essentially moved from hobby writing to professional writing. Because they took that, I'm writing this for myself. In the case of James Potter, he wrote it for his family. And then turned around and something drove him to submit it and become something else.
I'm trying to figure out why I have a problem with that, but I can't actually put it into words. It's fine. It's a good contrast between what makes a hobby writer and what makes a professional writer, but there's just... because you're publishing something with copyrighted characters, I mean, like, you'd better hope you have the author on your side, because otherwise you are screwed.
Yes, which is why 50 Shades is obviously changed, and James Potter, which is blatantly using the universe and the characters, and apparently the plots are exactly like the Harry Potter books.
But you just said it was Rowling endorsed. So.
Well, he says it's Rowling endorsed. I figure since he's been around for about a year now that I've seen, Rowling's is okay with it, or at least doesn't care to send her.
She's already rolling in money.
Yeah.
Oh.
JK, I'm just rolling.
Rowling and money.
So, one of the things that we mentioned earlier when we were talking about authors, and something that I myself have come up against significantly, authors versus writers, part two of this podcast discussion.
What is the
difference between calling yourself an author and calling yourself a writer, or is there a difference?
I'm sorry, I just see that, you know, that old-timey part two black and white TV blur.
If you're an author calling yourself a writer,
is it given?
Then there's probably no difference. If you're a writer that isn't an author, then
it's a Venn diagram.
I'm gonna use my awesome Wikipedia skills here, because I cut and pasted it.
I think that a writer and an author is just a different word for the same thing.
See, what
I don't quite think that's the case, but
author. An author is broadly defined as a person who originated or gave existence to anything and whose authorship determines responsibility for what was creative. Narrowly defined, an author is the originator of any written work. Writer. A writer is a person who uses written words in the various styles and techniques to communicate ideas. Writers produce various forms of literary art and creative writing, such as novels, short stories, poetry, plays, news articles, screenplays, and or essays.
But they authored those things.
Right.
So there's no difference.
So,
well, it really depends.
When I start writing the book, I'm a writer. When I finish the book, I'm an author.
By Jove, I think you actually have that.
Or when you're thinking of the book, you're an author. But when you've written it, then you're a writer.
Well, there's...
Wouldn't that be the
answer? See, I think it really depends on the context in which you're using the term author, because author is commonly used to describe somebody who's published a book through somebody. So...
Well, that's where I started saying published author.
Strictly speaking, yes, if you finished a book, you are an author of that book. But if you're an author, you probably have something published.
See, this is where at the end of the notes I have, what does the community think?
Well,
am I an author because I have created stories and sent them away, but none of them have been published yet? Or am I an author once those stories are published and the community goes, oh, you've published a story and I can now buy it and read it?
Are you an author because you've published it, you've put something up in general?
I really think we're arguing semantics on this one.
Oh, totally. Oh, totally. Yeah.
Absolutely.
agreement.
But here, okay. As we were talking in the previous thing, so you're a writer if you're continually writing, you have that drive to write. You produce works, thus you can be a writer and an author. But what if you stop writing? Then you've dropped off the writer aspect, still you're still an author.
Yeah, that's a good point, yes. Touche.
Lovecraft, to use an example, is an author. He has stuff published. He is not a writer, as he is dead. But... it makes...
Can we just do that again just to get the dramatic effect? Sorry.
Mind blown! But seriously, that is by far friggin'
probably
the gist of it.
He was a writer. Probably the best definition we're gonna get.
Yeah, he was a writer. Mm. He's a published author.
I feel like the entire rest of the notes we have in this document are now moot.
I think so, yeah. Because how are you gonna...
I have completely... finished.
It wasn't
everything.
Me this time.
Wow. So then that begs the question. If you are, though I do want to know.
So
if
then
you,
let's say published author.
Oh, so then you could call cartoonists authors. Because they don't actually write it? Like, I know my girlfriend
is. You still
is,
author something.
No, well, you
originated
does,
something. So.
Yeah,
a
well,
cartoonist?
Well, my girlfriend does a webcomic and she does not really like to write. She's an amazing artist, but she's done a wonderful job of writing the script for this comic.
Then yes. If there's actual writing involved, then they're an author.
Yeah, well, she created a world.
If all she did was draw the pictures, I wouldn't call her an author.
No, then she's a comic book artist.
Yes.
But no, she's done the script and everything like that. This is her world, her brain.
She is an author
of
that
world.
So she's an author.
Which brings us to what we were talking about with when you're self-publishing something or you're posting it to FA, Weasel, YifStar, etc. Are you an author?
Are we just going further into the Venn diagram now?
I guess.
I'm a writer, I'm an author, I'm a self-published author, I am now a published author.
Like, technically speaking, I suppose, with the definition of author that we've just discussed, having anything, anywhere, at any point, makes you an author.
But not a published writer.
Not a professional writer.
Right.
Or a professional author.
Yeah, so
you can be a professional writer,
oh,
a hobbyist author, or a professional author.
This is where we just get to the end and just say, you know, you are whatever you think you are.
When I go on to my linked account, the herpes of the internet, what am I? I want to know because I put down professional writer and I go to someone else who I know is stuff published and he's a professional author and it makes me so upset.
All right, you know what? The horse is dead. Quit vlogging it.
I'm
so why don't you put author?
I didn't think of it at the time.
Oh, okay. For fuck's sake.
Like, I can, but I was like, at the time I was like, is there a distinction between the two? Apparently, yes. Yes, there is.
Well, and therein, I still think there is a different, like, it, depending on how you use the word. And, you know, if you're on LinkedIn describing yourself, like, you're a self-proclaimed author, that still implies that you have something written professionally and that it's been published. That's what I think the implication is.
By the way, going on LinkedIn as an author gets you some really stupid friggin' connections, and I'm starting to get really upset at it.
So, otherwise than publishing, I guess what we're kind of boiling down to is, you know, it's up to you. You know, do you think you're a writer? Then you're probably a writer. You know,
am I alive and continuing to write? I am a writer.
Well, you're
also
not,
an author.
That goes back to my state where it's like,
because I'm not dead yet.
You missed the first three words I said. Do you think?
Quite often.
You can't think when you're dead.
Well, I don't know. We see a lot of high school students that prove they can't think to begin with.
Well, they're clearly not writers.
Like, whether or not you're a writer, that's entirely up to you. Whether or not you are a professional writer, I think, is typically up to whether or not you've been published through a professional venue. Are you making money, or are you gaining some sort of value out of publishing your writing, either online or otherwise?
Well, that's what I was getting to. I think, like, 90-95% arbitrary high percentage value of you being a writer is if you believe you
being
are. And if you're working on it, you're improving it, you're actually contributing ways.
Being a professional writer really could just mean you're being, like, sent to conventions to talk to somebody.
That'd be nice.
I feel there's a little bit, that little 5% is what other people see of you. You know, other people are going to look at Tarl and go, oh, you have tons of stuff done. You're clearly a writer or an author. You know, other people can look at people who have self-pubbed and God, well, you're a writer, but you don't actually have anything published through a publisher. So I don't see you as a professional author. To the person who wrote that, they can see themselves as a professional author. But again, it's where do you want to draw the line?
I feel that if I can show you a paycheck or some sort of proof that my writing has obtained some sort of value, that would make me a professional writer.
Okay, so
now that we've beat that horse to death and lost the last how many ever minutes
20
of the podcast,
minutes of podcasting, I don't know.
Who cares? You guys didn't really miss much. We will be doing
rejection!
How to handle rejection. What to do when you get a rejected story from a publisher, as well as dealing with constructive
criticism.
So, because, quite frankly, we couldn't do an entire episode on just rejection letters, so we're going to do mixing it in with what happens when someone comments on your story. What's the proper way to respond? Do you respond at all? So forth and so on. If you have any questions, comments, emails, you can find us at podcast@fangsandfonts.com.
Or you can visit visit our website, fangsandfonts.com, where you can stream our episodes and listen to them from the site instead of downloading them like our iTunes channel.
If you're looking for us on Twitter, you can find us at Fangs and Fonts.
We also have Fur Affinity, So Furry, and Weasel accounts.
Guess what? It's at Fangs and Fonts.
None of this fawns bullshit.
No fawns.
No jumping the shark here. I think that's it, right? Oh, wait, book.
Oh, yes. Oh, after 45 minutes of deliberation, we finally chose a book. We are doing Kevin Frayn's Summerhill. Why did we choose this book? Well, part of it's because we had copies. Thank you to those that suggested books and offered to give us free copies. That was taken into consideration.
I would like to point out that just the fact that I think two people here have copies, none of us have actually read it.
Yeah, none of us have actually read it. Also, the other main reason why we chose it was because through the reviews given on both Goodreads and us talking with people, basically we have seen that there's contradicting reports, contradicting reviews, and that's basically...
It's a challenge.
Usually I'm more interested when a book has good and bad reviews rather than a book that's got just 5-star reviews. I want to see if the 1-star and the 2-star reviews actually have merit for what they're saying.
Or if they're just being jerks.
So that's part of the other reason why we picked it up, is just there's a lot of contradiction when it comes to the reviews and we'd like to judge it for ourselves. So we'll be doing it probably over the next few months. We'll be visiting this topic again probably around late April, early May. So pick up a copy at your local FurCon or pick it up from baddogbooks.com.
Or amazon.com.
Where you can find the e-copies to the books. So that is it. Hope you all enjoyed yourselves.
Otherwise, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that was the most enjoyable conversation. Yeah. Next week, we shall discuss... Rejection. That is a lot of dust falling into my head. Rejection. I reject you. Rejection. I reject you.
I reject your reality as my own.
I reject your face.
Reject your mom.
I rejected your mom's face.